is unmatched.
Jackie Quinn reporting. Facebook rolling out a new face recognition service that identifies people in photos, even though those who aren't tagged by the poster. The innovation is meant to help blind people learn more about photos and tip off people who want to know when they're in photos but haven't been tagged. It'll also crack down on impersonators who use other people's faces in their own profile photos. For more details, townhall.com.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
I'm Jen Gomez.
And we're back after a week off. We did a rerun last week. Sometimes, you know, we get a little behind on things, including life. So we had to actually take a week off.
Mm-hmm.
Hope you enjoyed our Halloween episode in the middle of December.
Well, you know, it's just we're going with the holiday specials, because last week we reran our Halloween special. This week we're having our Christmas special.
Yes, we are. And that, because, you know, Christmas is literally 6 days away from now.
That's right.
So enjoy it. We're going to talk about all of our favorite holiday specials on our holiday special.
Right?
Yeah. My absolute favorite is the original Grinch.
How is that not everyone's favorite?
You know, everyone has their own favorite.
But it's so perfect.
If you say that you like the Grinch, but you say that you like the new one better, then no.
No.
You don't get to say that.
No. Okay, yeah. So the 1966 TV special, voiced by Boris Karloff, is the pinnacle of Grinch. It's just perfect. It's so good. The animation is amazing.
Well, it's by Chuck Jones, who mm-hmm. did all the classic, the really good Looney Tunes, the Tom and Jerry's, all those.
Mm-hmm. And the voice acting is amazing. You have Boris Karloff, who Dr. Seuss didn't want to be in the movie in the beginning because he thought it might be too scary. But I think Boris pulled it off really well.
Oh, absolutely. And then you have Thurl Ravenscroft, who does the song,
mm-hmm.
which is Tony the Tiger
right.
from the original Frosted Flakes commercials. Yeah. I mean, how do you not feel good when you hear this?
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a greasy black peel.
I'm pretty sure that's pinnacle of perfection for the holidays for me.
It really is. And so it's been my tradition since as far back as I can remember to watch this special every year. I have to watch it at least once a Christmas season. And so back in 2000, I was elated that they were making a new movie out of The Grinch, because I'm like, hey, the cartoon is awesome, but it is just a TV cartoon. They could expand on it. They can make it CGI. This is going to be awesome. Oh, they got Jim Carrey to be in it. He's good. I'm sure this is going to be amazing. And oh my gosh, I could not have been more wrong.
That thing is terrible.
My biggest problem with it is that they completely change the point of the Who's. Because in the original, in the book and in the original TV movie, the Who's have the spirit of Christmas inside them. They're a very generous, a very giving people. And so that's the whole point, is that the Grinch thinks he's going to destroy Christmas by taking all their stuff. But they're like, you know what? No, because the stuff doesn't matter. We're going to sing because we're all together and we're happy anyway. And that's what causes his heart to grow 3 sizes. And everything's happy and he takes it all back and happy ending for everybody. But in this movie, all the Who's are jerks. They're all materialistic and they're just terrible.
Except for little Cindy Lou Who.
Yeah, but that's not enough.
It's not enough.
It's not enough.
Yeah, and you feel for the Grinch in the new movie, mm-hmm. new movie, but
well, new 17 years ago.
Yeah, you feel for him because he's treated terribly. You understand why he's the Grinch,
right? Yeah,
you don't get that from the half-hour special, the animated one, because you just, okay, he's just, man, he's a Grinch, he's a Scrooge, he's every stereotypical person who doesn't like Christmas before they have a big old turnaround change of heart.
Yeah.
But in this one, you totally get it, because they're really bad people to him.
It's terrible. Well, there is new news about how the Grinch stole Christmas. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
Okay, are you sitting down?
Yeah.
Okay, because there is a new How the Grinch Stole Christmas coming out next Christmas. It was supposed to come out this Christmas, but it got delayed as to not compete with The Star, which is a Christmas movie coming out this year. So it will release in November of next year. It's by Illumination, which is the studio that does Despicable Me and Sing.
And the Horton Hears a Who, the animated. It's a more animated, kind of like The Lorax was.
Right. Yeah, okay. Exactly. And it's going to star Benedict Cumberbatch.
Really?
As the Grinch.
Okay, I'm excited about this.
So, we'll see. You know, they really screwed it up 17 years ago. So
and they had perfection in 1966.
So, let's see if they can turn it around again.
Let's see if they can just take the good one and just expand it, keeping the same thing, not changing the story around.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like that. Benedict Cumberbatch, is there anyone else that's tied to it at the
moment? He's the only one. Yeah, he's the only voice cast.
I'm sure he'll probably be the Grinch.
Well, no, he is the Grinch.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Right? So, we'll see. We'll just have to see how that goes.
Please don't get Michael Bublé to be the singer of the new Grinch. Like, just don't.
You know what? I think you may have just cursed it.
Oh, no. I hope not.
We know now, so if this time next year we are hearing a Bublé version of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, we'll know to blame Chris.
Yeah, that was me doing that. I'll take blame for that.
So, you know, not all Christmas remakes are bad, because one of my favorite Christmas adaptations is Mickey's Christmas Carol.
Yes.
And we actually have a really fun story about that DVD. So Mickey's Christmas Carol is up there almost with The Grinch on specials I need to watch every year. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't seen it, it's almost a perfect retelling. So, of course, Mickey is Bob Cratchit and Scrooge McDuck is Ebenezer Scrooge, because of course he is.
Why would you get anyone else?
And it's just a great adaptation. The ghost of Christmas Future is very scary. He's played by
Pete,
and he's scary. When I was little, you know, he scared me into being a good person, and it's a really great little animated.
I'm pretty sure the Ghost of Christmas Past is Jiminy Cricket, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's my favorite, because I know there's a lot of go around about which version of A Christmas Carol is your favorite.
Right.
A lot of people love The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's a classic.
Yeah, but for me, it's always Mickey's. It condensed it down to a half an hour, and it didn't feel like it lost anything.
Yeah. So I wanted to watch it a few years back, but I didn't have it. I didn't have it on DVD. I didn't have it on, you know, it wasn't on TV anywhere. I couldn't rent it anywhere. I couldn't find it.
It wasn't on Netflix.
So we went to Best Buy, and we found the spot for it where it was supposed to be, but it was sold out. And we asked one of the employees there, and he checked his computer, and he says, oh, well, the computer says we still have one, but it's either maybe it was stolen or someone picked it up and put it down somewhere else. And so, you know, they have those little bins in the middle of their aisles where they have just discount DVDs thrown in, and you magically found it.
I did. I was able to find it out of the whole store.
It was a Christmas miracle.
It was, and so we have it, and we get to watch it every year.
Yay.
It actually, I said this before on the show, we record these a little earlier than when they're broadcast. So today is Saturday, and it was 34 years ago today that premiered in theaters before The Rescuers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was in theaters. It was a theatrical release.
Yeah, December 16th, 1983.
That was a while ago, but it was great. You know, another really good rendition of Christmas Carol that I don't think you've seen is Scrooged.
No, I have not.
And Scrooge was a really fun movie. It's
Bill Murray,
and he's a modern day Scrooge. Well, modern as, you know,
1988,
but still modern. You know, businessman who is visited by all these ghosts. And
I really want to see
it's
that.
It's a great one.
I think I'll check that out this year.
Yeah, you really should, because it's a really fun movie. The ghosts are amazing. You've got Carol Kane as the ghost of Christmas Present, and she's just as fabulous as she always is. And
But there's so many that are classic. Well, like TBS does 24 Hours of A Christmas Story.
Oh, that is a really great one. And this year they're doing it live.
Yeah, on Broadway type style.
Mm-hmm.
On Fox.
That's going to be interesting. It's got Maya Rudolph and Matthew Broderick.
That should be pretty fun. We're recording this on a Saturday. I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow.
Yes.
So if you're hearing this, you are a little behind. It just aired. It just aired on TV 2 days ago.
Right. So you might want to check that out. But yeah, that's another classic movie that you know you kind of have to watch, and TBS makes sure that you watch it. Hey, that they do that every year, right? They run it for 24 hours.
I can remember back in 1992. That was the first time I think I saw the movie. It was on TBS because it was running 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you're gonna shoot your eye.
You'll tongue, shoot your eye out.
Tongue stuck to the flagpole.
Mm-hmm.
The bunny pajamas. The mouth with soap.
Oh, fudge! Only I didn't say fudge.
The very sort of racist Asian Christmas carols. It was pointed out on an episode of Family Guy the year before.
Mm-hmm.
It was in the last few Christmases. It showed the Asian guys singing fa-rah-rah-rah-rah. And he's all, that's right, America. One of your favorite holiday classics is actually quite racist. And they go, and not from that long ago either.
Yeah, the movie, it always feels older than it is because, of course, it came out in 1983, but it's set in the 40s.
Yeah.
And so since, you know, we came out in 82, we were only one when this movie was released. And so it always feels like it's older than it actually is.
Yeah, and the fragile, it must be Italian. that leg lamp.
And there are so many leg lamps you can buy. Like we've seen so many versions of that you can buy in stores, and
tall ones, short ones,
mm-hmm. fat ones, thin ones.
Sort of the some that are size of the ornaments, you can put them on the tree.
Mm-hmm. I actually found a really good looking, like it was full size one at the Hallmark store a couple weeks ago. It looked like the actual prop from the movie.
Yeah.
So if you were to get one, that's the one to get.
That's the one.
And make sure that you put it right in your front window so that passerbyers can see it.
And they know you're a winner.
They know you're a winner.
What was that? That was the Irish sweepstakes, I think it was.
Yeah, something like that.
Something like that. Yeah. But there's so many, but there's certain ones you have to watch every year, mm-hmm. and I'm pretty sure that one is just because it's on all the time.
You can't escape it.
Yeah, Mickey's Christmas Carol, definitely. Yeah, the Christmas Carol is definitely the Mickey's one. It was definitely one, and like I said, people really like the Muppet one, which I honestly haven't watched.
I don't know if I have either.
We are a little behind.
We should do that.
Maybe, yeah.
We can watch that.
I've read The Christmas Carol, like the actual Charles Dickens.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, and that's actually really good. You know, a lot of them, it's one of the few, I think, book adaptations that when people put them on film, just translates very well. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's because it's so small and precise that there's not much you can edit out or reinterpret in a weird way.
Right.
So it's across the board, like, it's one of the few books that no matter how many times it's retold, it's done usually correctly.
Mm-hmm.
We had it here locally. We had it at the Riverfront Playhouse.
Mm-hmm.
They did it recently. John Welsh as Scrooge.
It was very good.
It's a very good rendition.
Very entertaining.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was by design or by accident, but their Ghost of Christmas Past was a young girl. She was, I'd say, 7 or 8 years old.
I'd say so.
About. And she was adorable. She came out in this little white dress, and she was barefoot, and she barely talked, but she tugged him around, looking at all the things from his past. And I really liked it. It was a very unique take on it. And I don't know if it's in the script that way or if they just decided to go that direction. But it was fun.
Yeah, I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
But there are so many Christmas movies. There's also movies that are counted as Christmas movies when they shouldn't be counted as Christmas movies.
Mm.
I believe Harry Potter falls into that category.
Yeah, someone told me the other day that they get excited because every Christmas they get to watch their favorite Christmas movie, Harry Potter. I'm like, well, okay. So the movie takes place over the span of a school year. So it starts in September. Well, actually, it starts in his birthday in July, and it goes through the end of the school year, which is about May or June-ish. So yeah, they go through December. So there is a scene of Christmas. Doesn't make it a Christmas movie.
Well, if you're going by that way, I mean, Mean Girls is technically a Christmas movie.
Yeah.
When they do that Santa baby.
Very
inappropriate Santa baby. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a Christmas movie, too.
Yeah. Although I think we would be remiss if we did not mention a lot of people's favorite Christmas movie.
That you wouldn't think is a Christmas movie, but totally is.
Totally is. Die Hard.
Love Die Hard.
Very good movie.
Yippee-ki-yay, Merry Christmas, sir.
But what's the best line?
Oh, the best line is absolutely Alan Rickman going, "Now I have a machine gun. Her, her, her."
I love Alan Rickman, and it's really hard to root for Bruce Willis when I watch that movie, because I kind of want Alan Rickman to win.
Because it's Alan Rickman.
And when he does his Texan accent, it's adorable.
It's so bad. He's done that Texas accent again. Do you remember on what?
Yes, he was on an episode of King of the Hill. He played the king at the Renaissance Fair. And he
spoke like Alan Rickman
the
whole
time. He took his job way too seriously, thinking he is this king. And he's just being a jerk to everyone who works there. And finally, Peggy Hill... becomes the Norma Rae of the Renaissance Fair and leads the women to revolt against the boys' club, the boss. And so once he kind of gets knocked on his butt by Hank Hill, he starts speaking in his quote-unquote real voice, which is Alan Rickman doing his Texan accent. And it's just so terrible.
It's so bad, but so great.
But so good.
Now I have a machine gun. Her. But yeah, that's a Christmas movie.
See, that's a movie that is not necessarily Christmas based. It takes place at Christmas, which is why people call it a Christmas movie. But that one I'm okay with.
Yeah.
Because
no, that counts.
Oh my gosh.
No, that counts.
Totally counts.
It takes place during Christmas. I'm pretty sure on Christmas at a company Christmas party, and it references Santa a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a good one. Did you know that Miracle on 34th Street came out in July?
I've heard that. That is weird.
Yeah, because they didn't want to have a Christmas movie. They didn't think it would. They didn't think people would see it, so they released it in July. And the
is that where we get Christmas in July?
Maybe. You know, you never know.
But yeah, Natalie Wood at her very youngest.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a classic now. I can understand where they thought it could be a flop. I'm pretty sure it came out after It's a Wonderful Life, which technically was a huge flop.
Right.
It's a Wonderful Life, the classic Jimmy Stewart movie, was a flop.
I'm sorry, it did not come out in July. It came out on June 4th.
June 4th.
Hey, and it came out, so that was the New York premiere, was June 4th. On June 11th, which is my birthday, just a couple of years sooner, it came out in Chicago.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have just began to touch the tip of the iceberg in this winter holiday special. We're going to take a break. You're listening to We're a Little Behind.
On KCNR, 1460 AM.
This is Jim Gibson. As a Navy veteran and former submariner, I want to wish a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to my fellow submariners and the other North State veterans. But we want to also remember those that are overseas, and a Happy New Year for them, and we should be praying for all of them.
This Veterans Holiday Salute brought to you by the McConnell Foundation and Reading Civic Auditorium.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
Cold weather is quickly approaching Northern California. Give SST Oil a call today to hear their competitive prices for home heating fuel. Veterans are offered a 5% discount on heater sales and services and a 5% discount on home heating fuels. That's SST Oil. Give them a call at 241-1167. That's 241-1167. SST Oil. SST Oil supports our veteran community.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank. We invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
Black Bear Diner was started by a couple of hungry guys with a big dream. That dream? Good old-fashioned family food with great service. Like the classic Volcano Breakfast. Secret recipes, sweet cream pancakes, hickory smoked bacon, sausage, and fresh cracked eggs. Mmm. Served day or night at over 100 Black Bear Diner locations. Feeding all you hungry bears out there makes us so proud.
Here's your breakfast for dinner. No more coffee?
Thanks, Rosie. I'm sorry. Pancakes at sunset make me a little emotional.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Jen Gomez.
And I'm Chris Gomez.
And we're talking about Christmas specials.
That's what we're doing. We already talked about quite a bit of them, but we're not done by a long time.
Oh, no. You know, a couple that I rewatched recently, and by recently, I mean just a couple days ago, I rewatched the trilogy of The Santa Claus.
The Tim Allen movies?
The Tim Allen movies. And, you know, I saw them when they came out, and I remember liking them, but before I set off to watch them again, I was thinking, these are going to be terrible. Like, the first one's going to be fine, and then the sequels are just going to be just horrific. Mm. But they're actually not. They're actually really good. So the first one, it's so fun. So if you haven't seen The Santa Claus, Tim Allen is a single dad. You know, him and his wife have divorced. His wife has got remarried, and so he has their son for Christmas. And he burns the turkey, so they have to go have dinner at Denny's, where they see all the other single dads who couldn't cook dinner having Thanksgiving or having Christmas dinner at Denny's. And then that night, he is asleep, and he hears something outside, so he goes outside. Turns out Santa is on his roof. He calls up, "Hey, you!" Santa falls off the roof, which is horrifically traumatic, but Santa falls off the roof, lands on his back on the ground, and dies. And so Tim Allen picks up the suit and puts it on, thus fulfilling the requirements of the Santa Claus.
Why did he put it on?
His son told him to. His son, you know, so there was a card saying, if you found this, then please put on the suit and deliver the packages. So his son says, okay, come on, Dad, we have to do this. And they look up and the reindeer are on the roof and the reindeer are waiting for them. And Comet has an attitude. Comet's the best reindeer.
Now, the Santa that fell off the roof, he disappears, right?
He disappears, yeah. He
So they're not stripping a dead man and putting on his clothes.
No, the body disappears, and then it's just the suit. And so Tim Allen puts on the suit, and unbeknownst to him, he...
So you could really make these movies really sad if you did prequel movies and followed that guy's life?
Well, yes and no, because later on in the sequels, you find out that there have been a lot of Santa Clauses. One man is Santa Claus for a certain amount of time, and then he's done. It's passed on to someone else. And even with this, the Santa Claus right before Tim Allen, when he falls off the roof and he's laying on his back in the snow, like, you don't see his face or anything, you just see the suit. But as Tim Allen and his son are talking about it, he kind of waves his little gloved hand, you know, to say goodbye. And nobody in the North Pole seems at all distraught that there's a new Santa. So
I have coworkers that work with me for like 2 or 3 years, and when they go, I'm like, wow, I feel the loss. They're not dead. Like, they're legit Santa died, and they don't even care.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something fishy about that.
So anyway, the Santa Claus is in the last line of a contract.
Mm. Spelled with an E at the end.
Right. Mm-hmm. So he is now the Santa, so he starts gaining weight, he starts getting the beard, and his hair goes white, and he dyes it, and he shaves, and it doesn't matter because he's turning into Santa Claus. And so it's about him coming to terms with the fact that he's Santa Claus. His ex-wife's new husband is a psychologist,
Judd Reinhold.
Yeah, Judd Reinhold. And he's like, this is not real. You are not Santa. This is crazy. But then, of course, by the end, they believe.
Yeah.
So,
well, because he's Santa Claus now.
Right. So then Santa Claus 2.
Colon the Mrs. Claus.
Right, because that's what it is. It's the Mrs. Claus, meaning that if he does not find someone to marry, he can no longer be Santa. So he starts regressing. You know, his beard gets shorter and his hair gets darker and he gets thinner because he hasn't found a wife. And so he has to find someone to marry, and he ends up marrying his kid's school principal, who at first is really strict, but then she's really nice, and she becomes Mrs. Claus. And then in the third one is...
You get Martin Short.
Yeah, is the escape clause. Because if you... So this is where you really find out how many Santas there have been, because every Santa has a snow globe that is that Santa's personal... unique snow globe. And so there's a hall of snow globes that you go into, and all these snow globes kind of float around everywhere, and then the current Santa's is in the middle in a very prominent spot. Well, if the current Santa Claus holds his snow globe and says, I wish I was never Santa Claus, then he'll be thrown back in time and not become Santa.
That seems like a really convenient plot twist.
Right? So Martin Short, who plays Jack Frost, is upset because he's not taken seriously as a mythical figure. And he wants to take over Christmas because they won't give him his own holiday. So he tricks Tim Allen's character into holding the globe and saying it. And so then
what
Jack...
What is his name, like Scott Calvin or something? Because he has the same initials as Santa Claus.
Right, yeah, Scott Calvin. He convinces Scott to... Or he tricks him into saying it while holding the snow globe. And so they go back in time to the point where the old Santa falls off Scott's roof. And it's really cool because you see the actual footage from the first movie. Because the kid who plays his son...
Has gotten a lot older.
Right, and he's in the movie too.
Right.
He's actually in all three movies.
Yeah.
And so it's him as a child, because there were quite a few years between the first and the third one. And, cause the first one came out in 1994, and the third one came out in 2006. So you're going on quite a span, so that kid's a lot older.
So the first one was 94, the third one was 2006, which is a span of 12 years.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to be hitting 2018, which means it's been the exact same amount of time between the last one and now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
I think we need a new Santa Claus.
The Grandpa Claus?
The Grandpa Claus. Yeah, so then Jack Frost becomes Santa, and he takes over the North Pole and makes it like a resort, and takes all the magic out of the holiday and just makes it all commercialism, you know, as you do. And then Scott Calvin saves the day and becomes Santa again, and then they have a baby.
Is it a luxurious resort? Is it a huge resort? Is it the most wonderful, fabulous resort you've ever seen?
There's no gold.
There's no gold.
There's no gold for me. So yeah, but so I was thinking that these movies are going to progressively get cheesier, but they're actually not bad. They actually hold up. Even the third one, it holds up pretty good. And one of the things I love about these movies is that they kept the same casting throughout all three movies. And so the same people play the same characters. And if they couldn't get a certain actor to be in that role, then they just don't have that character. So in the first and the second one, the head elf, Bernard, is played by David Krumholtz, who is great. And he's the oldest elf, and so he's the number one elf, and he's kind of walking Santa.
The lead from the TV show Numbers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's actually why he couldn't be in the third movie, because his Numbers filming schedule conflicted.
Ah.
And so he couldn't be in it. But in the second movie, there's also Spencer Breslin, who is Abigail's older brother. And so he's in the second one as he's the kind of second elf in charge. So in the third one, he got a promotion, and he's now head elf. The only problem is that you can see that he's aged. Now, there's only 4 years between the second and the third. So the second one came out in 2002. So he's not a lot older, but he's a little older. And actually, his little sister, Abigail, is in the very beginning of the third Santa Claus.
Nice.
She plays a little elf in school.
So you got the full-on Santa Claus history.
I watched all three in a row.
In a row?
In a row. Wow. I had a Santa Claus marathon.
Nice. Feeling the Christmas spirit, are you?
I am.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies, though, that are just wonderful. And I mean, that one really sums up the holidays pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
There's other ones that are great that people sometimes don't want to admit that they love, and that's Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
I love Love Actually. I'm not even going to deny it. I'm what do you call it? Hashtag sorry, not sorry. Because seriously, that movie's great. It's got a huge cast.
It does.
It's another Alan Rickman Christmas movie. So, where he's a philanderer.
Mm-hmm.
You've got everyone in that. You have,
Colin Firth.
Yeah.
Bill Nighy.
Mm-hmm.
Liam Neeson.
Liam Neeson is
love me some Liam Neeses.
Liam Neeson as that single dad. Oh, so sweet.
So, that little kid is just so adorable.
Well, you've got Keira Knightley's in it.
Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
Martin frickin' Freeman.
Martin Freeman in that is great. And what's funny about this is that his character is a lighting stand-in on an adult film.
Yes.
So, because what Love Actually, for those who have not seen Love Actually, shame on you. And honestly, it's great. Like, it's all these vignette type of things that go that each story is its own separate story that somehow intertwines at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But the one with Martin Freeman is he is falling in love with his co-star or co-worker, and they're both lighting stand-ins on an adult film.
Mm-hmm.
So they have to get in compromising positions so that way the movie set people can set the lighting on an adult film. And so he's trying to talk to her. They're just having normal conversation while in very risque positions.
Right. Yeah. It's
hilarious. They're fully clothed.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just like, yeah, it's just really funny.
Mm-hmm.
You've got, what's his name? Who plays the prime minister?
Hugh Grant. Hugh Grant is the prime minister. And do you remember who the U.S. president is?
Yeah. It's Billy Bob Thornton.
It is Billy Bob
Thornton.
And
I remember thinking how ridiculous it would be to have somebody like Billy Bob Thornton as the American president. That movie's fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
It knows exactly how to hit all the right points correctly.
Yeah.
All of them.
It's a very sweet movie.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. And what's great about it is it's a love story that takes place at Christmas, but not all of the storylines end happily.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone ends up with the person they want to be with, and it's life, you know?
And Keira Knightley, yeah, because Keira Knightley is she married to?
I think they're just engaged,
to a guy, and then his best friend falls in love with her, and her fiancé is, now I can never pronounce that name, is it Chiwetel Ejiofor? Or
oh yeah,
right? Isn't that is that how you pronounce it?
I have no idea.
You gonna try?
No.
So, it's the classic scene that's been kind of parodied a couple times, but it's the one where there's a knock on the door and it's carolers, but it's really not. She says it's carolers because the best friend is playing a boombox with carolers while he has the stream of cards written to her professing his love and saying that he loves her but that he knows that she's with him, and so it's not going to progress any further. Oh, it's just wonderful.
All right, so it's pronounced Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Three times fast.
Chiwetel Ejiofor.
Uh-huh.
Chiwetel Ejiofor. Chiwetel Ejiofor. He's from 12 Years a Slave.
Yes. Yeah, but for sci-fi nerds like me, he was also in Serenity, which is the movie from the TV show Firefly.
True.
No, I know. I got this. Well, we're going to take another break. You're listening to We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM.
Hello, this is Chad David from Orchard Nutrition Center. I want to wish all of our veterans and military for their years of service. We know this is a hard time of the year, not seeing your families and loved ones. From all of us at Orchard Nutrition Center, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004.
but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Redding Concrete is proud to help bring high school football to the radio here on KCNR 1460. Redding Concrete is your local ready-mix concrete provider. Exceptional customer service and a quality ready-mix product at competitive prices is our primary goal. Redding Concrete, located at 16855 Clear Creek Road. Give them a call at 530-244-7593 for your next concrete pour. Redding Concrete, serving you with a quality ready-mix product.
It is tough establishing a new business in California, and even tougher if you're trying to understand the multiple laws that seem to have no other reason but to make your life harder. How do you deal with those legal hurdles while trying to build this new business or expand an existing one? By having your own qualified expert assist you. Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in business law and is well versed on the morass of legal questions facing a California business. Douglas Wright, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or douglaswrightlaw.com.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard to find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
And now, back to our show.
Welcome back to We're a Little Behind. I'm Chris Gomez.
And I'm Jen Gomez.
And if you're feeling the holiday spirit like we are, you are been listening to our show because we've been talking about nothing but Christmas specials, Christmas movies, Christmas TV shows. We'll even cover some Christmas music today.
Mm-hmm.
Another one that we just saw recently. Talk about being behind.
Oh, we were way far behind on this one.
We just, less than a week ago, saw White Christmas for the first time.
Very first time. I cannot believe that neither one of us had ever seen this movie. Interesting about the song White Christmas, it did not originally come from the movie White Christmas. It was actually in a movie called Holiday Inn that came out 10 years prior, and it was such a flop that they decided to go ahead and try it again, and then it was met with huge success.
Yeah, that movie, it was actually really good. It's a friend of ours' favorite. And so we decided to go see it, and it was good.
Yeah, they showed it at the movie theater. It was part of their classic series.
Mm-hmm. And it was really good, really fun. Mm-hmm. It makes me want to go watch more classic movies.
Yeah.
I need to go watch, because I love Singing in the Rain, so I need to go watch some Gene Kelly movies.
Mm-hmm. You know, we recently rewatched Singing in the Rain, because we had seen that one before. But again, the movie theater had the re-release of it, and... In my mind, White Christmas has always been really similar to Singing in the Rain, and I didn't have any idea why. I just, for some reason, they were...
They came out before you were born and featured some music.
I guess so. But in a way, they were similar in that they both center around the entertainment industry and the backstory thereof. So, but yeah, there was so many songs that I'm sitting there watching this going, oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that song. Oh, I know that song.
And it all comes from that.
And this is why we know that song.
Yeah, it was really fun, and Bing Crosby's great, and it's got a couple of moments where you really realize that it's older, comes from a different time.
Different time.
But it's actually more, it's actually just as much a military movie as it is a holiday movie.
Yeah.
And boy, when they do that thing for the general.
Ugh.
Yeah, tell me you don't tear up.
Oh, I was absolutely crying.
You can tell that in the years since these movies have been made, and especially recently, that continuity, the people who make sure that things line up throughout movies and editing, have come a long way. Because, boy, there were some things in there that were really distracting. Like, you know, set something down with your left hand, and all of a sudden, you know, it's in your right hand or whatever type of that continuity. And you're like, wow, I see where the editing people are now. They should be paid a little bit more nowadays because
they do a really good job.
They do a really good job.
But, yeah, it was really fun. I really enjoyed it. And it is a classic, and I really think it's going to become one of my, okay, now it's Christmas time, we need to watch this movie. Because it was so good.
You know, other things that are also we didn't talk about yet, but we will, is the completely different subject, almost, the animated, sort of animated, their stop motion animation specials, the Bass and Rankin specials that are on every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, since 1964 is when Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer came out.
Yeah, and that was classic, which is, I saw something recently on the internet that says that Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, that classic tale of people being a jerk to you until they need something, and then suddenly you're their best friend.
It's so true.
It really is.
It's so true.
And, I mean, you gotta love it. The elf that wants to be a dentist, the bumble, all that.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Santa Claus is Coming to Town, which is pretty much the Santa Claus story.
Yeah.
It's like, follows him when he's young, it shows how he became Santa. There's all those. And then you have the animated Frosty the Snowman.
Mm-hmm.
Happy birthday!
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I'm able to remember all these is because I was in a play a few years back called Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some. Talk about a fast-paced show. If you ever have the chance, because we went and saw a rendition of it 2 years ago, last year?
Last year.
Was it last year?
Mm-hmm.
Done in Chico.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a play that is pretty much like a long-running essay.
Mm-hmm.
It's Every Christmas Story Ever Told and Then Some is the title, and that's exactly what it is. They start talking about their favorite Christmas specials. It's kind of like this show right now, but on a stage.
On a stage.
And they reenact all of them, and it's like a condensed. If you've ever watched the condensed Shakespeare Company.
The reduced Shakespeare Company.
Where they do all of Shakespeare's work in a very short amount of time. They're fast-paced and they're faster, and they just get like, it's almost like cliff notes for Shakespeare. It's kind of the same thing, but for Christmas.
Yeah, and it's in two acts, and the first half of the play is talking about Christmas traditions from around the world, and
old Christmas specials,
Macy's parade, and you know, Gift of the Magi, all things like that. And then the second half of the show is actually my personal favorite, because the premise of the whole show is that these three actors, and it's only three actors, and so they have
trust me, I know
they have come together because they're putting on a Christmas carol. Because it's Christmas time, so you do Christmas Carol. And one of the actors is like, but we do that all the time. I don't want to do Christmas Carol. And so that's kind of what propels them into talking about all these different Christmas specials.
All the BHCs, the beloved holiday classics.
So the second half, the main actor who Chris played in this particular production when he did it, is the straight-laced one who just wants to do Christmas Carol because that's what you do at Christmas. You do a Christmas Carol. And so
since the first half we covered all of the holiday classics, like all of them condensed, it was my turn to get to do Christmas Carol.
Mm-hmm.
But the guy who didn't want to do it throws a monkey wrench in
and
there.
He says, well, what about the other beloved holiday classic, which is It's a Wonderful Life? So they then go through this mashup of It's a Wonderful Life and Christmas Carol.
And if you didn't think it could happen, it does, and it's done very well.
It's done very well. So Chris's character plays both Ebenezer Scrooge and George Bailey, and Chris kept going back and forth between a Scrooge accent and a Jimmy Stewart impression, and it was just great. And it's a wonderful play. So if you ever see it playing in your area, we highly recommend going to see it.
Yeah, that you'll have a fun time during the holidays watching that. I don't know who would put it on maybe during March. That'd be weird.
That would be weird.
But it could still, you'd still enjoy it.
But like we said, Miracle on 34th Street came out in June, so you never know.
You never know. But yeah, it's stuff like that, that's wonderful. And you know what else is falls into those categories is Christmas songs.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my absolute favorites, and this is the only one that makes me feel like it's Christmas, and it's the Christmas album by Seth MacFarlane. For those of you who might not know who Seth MacFarlane is, because you don't aren't into crass humor, Seth MacFarlane is the guy who produces and voices a majority of the characters on a TV show called Family Guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you've heard of Family Guy. Most people have. And depending on your style of humor, it might not be up your alley. But a lot of people who are into Family Guy aren't aware that Seth MacFarlane is actually a very good singer.
Mm-hmm.
And he is a very serious singer. He loves Frank Sinatra. Like, if it was still around today, he would be a member of the Rat Pack easily.
Absolutely.
In fact, I'm trying to petition to kind of have him start a new Rat Pack. And he would make a great choice for the to redo the theme song to How the Grinch Stole Christmas.
That would be amazing. He is very good. He's got a very rich voice. And, you know, on Family Guy, he actually sings quite a bit. And one of the cool things about Family Guy is that it has an orchestra that plays all the, you know, the theme song and the between scene music, but all of that music is all new for every episode. He has a full orchestra that plays it, and they don't just use canned music over and over again. They actually have the orchestra record new music. So he's very serious about music.
Yeah, he takes a portion of the production budget for that,
mm-hmm.
and it really shows quality in that show.
Mm-hmm.
But he's wonderful. I mean, he sings great. Like here's the Christmas song.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir, and folks dressed up like Eskimos.
Now, that's the Christmas song, but he has serious, serious singing chops, and I mean, he even covers songs from White Christmas, including Snow, which was used in the movie White Christmas, and so this album is called Holiday for Swing, and so there's happy songs or slow songs.
Long before we'll all be there with snow. Snow, I want to wash my hands, my face and hair with snow. Snow, I long to clear a path and lift a spade of snow. Oh.
And there's the classic holiday song, which is now the hashtag MeToo holiday song.
Ah.
You noticed. You're shaking your head at me right now.
Really can't but baby, it's cold outside.
I've got to go
but
away.
But baby, it's cold outside.
I can't argue.
So very nice.
I'll hold your hand.
It's a nice duet with Sarah Bareilles.
My mother will start to worry.
Beautiful, what's your hurry?
Your father will be pacing the floor.
Listen to the fireplace
so
roar.
So really, I better scurry.
Beautiful, please don't hurry.
Maybe
and there's also the classic American song, Mele Kalihimaka. Starts out interesting. It really starts out like this. There you go.
There you go.
You want the ukulele.
And you know what this song reminds me of is another one of my favorite Christmas movies that I completely forgot to mention, which is National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Ugh. Love that movie.
Kalikimaka is the thing to say on a bright Hawaiian Christmas day.
That's the island greeting that we send to you from the land where palm trees sway.
You got Chevy Chase looking out of his kitchen window at the pool that he's imagining, and the bikini-clad girl swimming in his pool.
I'm going to do one more here because this one's classic. You can't feel Not Christmas without this song. Because here in Reading, we don't get enough of this. And by enough, I mean at all. Snow. So.
Snow.
When we finally kiss goodnight, how I'll hate going out in that storm. But if you really hold me tight, all the way home I'll be warm.
There it is. Look at that. If you don't feel Christmassy with this music playing, then you obviously are Scrooge or the Grinch.
One or the other.
One of those two.
That's true.
There's no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. So he's much better than I am.
Man, it doesn't show signs of stopping.
And what'd you bring?
I brought me some corn for popping. Lights are turned way down low.
So what are we going to do?
Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Yeah, we are. See what I mean? Now, is that not... His voice is fantastic.
Mm-hmm. They really were.
And so, yeah, absolutely. But we'll get on to now Christmas Vacation.
Great movie. Great, great movie.
A lot of people forget that the guy from Big Bang Theory, Leonard from the Big Bang Theory, was actually his son in that one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, Johnny Glicknicki.
Yeah,
is that how you say his name?
Uh-huh. Yeah. the kids seem to get recast a couple of times throughout the.
They get recast for every movie. That's the running joke.
Oh, is it? Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, you had Anthony Michael Hall in the original Vacation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you had Ethan Embry in Vegas Vacation. Yeah, no, his kids are recast every single Vacation, which is funny that it was Ed Helms in the remake. But it was as his son. That was something I said years ago. I said decades ago, but they kind of tweaked it. I wanted it to be Anthony Michael Hall coming back to do that. And the premise I thought would be that they finally got their lifetime ban from Wally World lifted.
Ah.
And so it was good. So that was my idea, and they just kind of tweaked it.
Tweaked it, yeah. But it's a super fun movie, and, you know, just about how the holidays can just be torn to pieces by your family, but that in the end it all turns out good.
Yep. I have Let It Snow still rolling. I'm trying to get to this. My mouse didn't click the thing right. But yeah, this is the theme song to that
right.
movie.
Mm-hmm.
It's Holiday Road, Lindsey Buckingham. Mm-hmm. Fleetwood Mac's Lindsey Buckingham. You hear this and you know exactly that you're going to be having some eggnog and seeing...
So you know what? The 80s were a good decade for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the 80s were a good decade anyway, but...
Yeah. I just can't think of... I can't think of many... Well, I guess the Santa Claus came out in 94, so I guess that would count. But, like, there's not many 90s ones.
Yeah. There's a couple.
Yeah. See? Don't you feel like watching the movie again right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is... You know, my Christmas season gets filled with a lot of holiday specials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're
a little behind. We haven't had time to sit at home and watch our Christmas shows.
Oh, no. We're doing this show. I'm doing the news in the mornings. We've got work during the day. Yeah, it's tough. You can't get all that in there. But,
yeah.
You know, you have this and you're good to go. Holiday road. Oh, yeah. See? And we've got Christmas parties that we're going to. It's a lot.
Yep.
And so with that, we are going to leave you. We're going to wish you a Merry Christmas, because by the time we're on again, it's going to be after Christmas.
That's right. So Merry Christmas, Happy New Year, all of that fun stuff.
Happy Hanukkah. I like to say happy holidays. I know it's a big thing. It's like, but it encompasses everyone because all of my friends are of all different things, all different religions, and like they celebrate different things.
Well, even just Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's.
It incorporates all the holidays. Happy holidays. Doesn't mean I don't want to wish you a Merry Christmas, because I do. Merry Christmas to you. Happy Hanukkah to you. Happy Kwanzaa. It incorporates all of them. Do you know how long it's going to take me to sit there and say all of those things at once? No, I can say that with happy holidays. But Merry Christmas and happy holidays. And thanks for joining us so far this year. We'll have one more show in 2017. In fact, I'm pretty sure that's what we're going to be talking about is 2017
wrap-up.
Yeah, so join us next week for that. So it's been fun. And be sure to check out our website, GomezCast.com, to check out today's episode, plus all our past episodes. And on Christmas Day, we're going to have even something special for you on that day. We're going to drop a bonus segment from today's episode that we couldn't fit in today's show. So be sure to check that out. Happy holidays. Have a Merry Christmas. And we'll see you on the 26th. So this is We're a Little Behind on KCNR 1460 AM. Happy holidays.
And good night.
KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Val Dior. Democrats say three provisions in the Republican $1.5 trillion tax bill violate Senate rules and will likely be removed before the chamber votes on the measure this evening. The House approved the legislation today, so this means the House will have to vote again on the legislation once it's been amended and approved by the Senate.
GOP House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy's office says the House will consider the bill Wednesday morning and send it to President Trump for his signature.